It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This year, there will be a gubernatorial election in Pennsylvania. Eight candidates are vying for the Democratic nomination and the chance to go head-to-head against incumbent Republican Tom Corbett. One of them is Tom Wolf, who has never held elected office, but who served as former Governor Ed Rendell's Secretary of Revenue. Mr. Wolf is one of the more intriguing candidates in the field, if for no other reason than the fact that he's putting up $10 million of his own money towards the effort. He joins us in Studio A. Tom Wolf, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. It's good to be here.
If you have a comment or question for our guest, you can call 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is ESSPGH at WESA.FM. And you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at hashtag EPLive. Tom Wolf, we'll talk money here in a moment, but you are the chairman and CEO of the Wolf Organization, reportedly the largest supplier of kitchen and bath cabinetry in the United States. So you are a successful businessman, but you have never held elected office. So how do you see your background translating to being a successful governor?
Yes, I haven't held elective office before, but I've been in public service for a long time. I started my life as a young person, 19 years old, joining the Peace Corps. I have been very active in my community when I came back to Pennsylvania after earning a PhD at MIT. As I was building my business, I was also very engaged in helping to build the community I lived in, South Central Pennsylvania, York County. And I think while I was doing that, I was also very interested in the political system. I contributed, my wife and I contributed to good political candidates for many, many years. So my running right now is really an extension of all those things. I care about the community. I care about my state. I'm a native Pennsylvanian. And I think we can do so much better in politics, in a democracy. This is where you go if you want to make things better.
You did begin a run for governor back in 2008, but you dropped out. What happened?
Yeah, I was that's when I was Secretary of Revenue, and I resigned in order to actually start a run for governor. And I was going to wait till after the inauguration in 2008, the presidential inauguration. And I learned that the business, my two business partners and I had sold in 2006, was struggling. And so I worked to put together a deal to buy the company back at 100 cents on the dollar, did not play games with any discounted rates, because I felt that as much as I wanted to run for governor and as important as I thought that was, I thought it was more important to go back and help save the jobs of the people I had worked with for so many years who had helped me build a successful business. And so I did. I dropped out of the race. I had a campaign team in place. I had made a lot of commitments, but I dropped out because I thought saving that business and saving those jobs was more important than running for governor.
It sounded like you had a few harrowing hours there during January of 2008, just trying to – working the phones and trying to hold everything together.
Actually, it was January of 2009.
Oh, right. The inauguration would be in 2009.
Right.
Exactly.
So it was 2009 and actually started working middle of February 2009 and continued to work through the harrowing phone conversations until everything fell into place. But again, just in terms of harrowing times, the first challenge was to solve the debt issue. We had too much debt. I don't want to get into too much detail in terms of the business, but I solved that problem, but realized that we also had a business model problem. We served the residential construction industry, and that part of the economy was obviously struggling in 2009. And so the business model we had as a distributor of other people's building products really wasn't working. So in addition to doing all the work to take care of the debt issue, I then had to struggle with changing the business model. And that was even harder. And so went through a very difficult period in 2010, 2011, when we really changed the company around, turned it 180 degrees from what it had been doing. And turned it into one of the fastest growing, once again, building products companies in the United States. We now manufacture or design and manufacture kitchen cabinets, decking, railing, things that can be used in residential construction, and are doing quite well. We're in 28 states now. All of our stuff is made in the United States. And I'm very proud of our success. But so I went through actually two periods of difficulty.
And I bring that up because a part of being an office holder today is dealing with debt. And have the lessons learned from the experiences that you just described, how have they shaped how you would govern if elected?
Well, I was very interested in Mayor Peduto's inaugural ceremony yesterday. I think he summed it up in saying that we Democrats should support what we support not only because these things are right, we have the right values, but because they actually work. And what's worked in business for me, I think, is what's going to work in politics. It's going to work for Mayor Peduto, and it's going to work for the next governor of Pennsylvania, and that is you bring people together. You don't separate them. You make sure people share in the benefits of their hard work. At my company, we share 20 to 30% of our net profit each year in a cash distribution to our employees. And that's on top of good wages and good benefits. Do that not just because it's right, but because it works. Our truck drivers actually care about the customers they're delivering product to. Our warehouse workers care about the products they're packing into the trucks. They're their products. And I think that same kind of shared bringing people together, of fairness, of listening, of actually sitting down with a vision. Those things work in the private sector, but those are the things that will also work in the public sector, and those are the things that I think we as Democrats have to promote.
Talking with Democratic candidate for Governor Tom Wolf here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. He is Governor Ed Rendell's former Secretary of Revenue and is a businessman who is running for governor and who has never held elected office. And I've mentioned that a few times, but might that be in this political climate with people seeing a certain level of dysfunction in government at both the state and national level, might that be a plus for you?
I'm not sure.
How do you view it?
Yeah, I think it is a plus. I think people are looking for something a little bit different. Now, they're not looking for such unconventional differences that someone's coming in and just going to be different. I think they're looking for someone who might come in with a perspective of actually wanting to get something done and with a record of actually having gotten something done so that I can point to various parts of my life where I actually have gotten things done, working with the very same kind of people that you find in any setting, including in the public sector. So when I was in the Peace Corps, I got villagers in India to adopt high-yielding rice. When I was in academia, I was able to convince people that I had good ideas. My dissertation actually won a national dissertation award. When I was in business, I was successful. When I was in community activities, chair of the United Way of your College of Pennsylvania Board of Trustees, the Chamber of Commerce, I could get people to do things. I think that's what people are looking for. They don't care what you've done in public service or whether you've actually your background looks conventional. They're looking for someone who's gotten things done, has done them in the right way. And I think that's what I bring to this race.
You have earned the nickname the compassionate businessman. How did that come about?
I don't know. I haven't heard that before.
You haven't heard that?
No, I haven't, but thank you very much. I think anybody in business who's successful is compassionate. And again, that it looks compassionate maybe to the outside world, but it's enlightened self-interest. You have to work with other people. You have to be fair. You actually have to empathize with people you're working with in order to understand what they need in order for all of us to succeed. Everybody I know who runs a successful business treats their workers fairly. I mean, you don't get to be successful by stiffing your workers. You don't get to be successful by stiffing your customers. And I think that's true in the private sector. It's true in the public sector. So compassion to me is a natural part of running a successful business. It's why I'm a lifelong Democrat. I'm an unapologetic Democrat. Everything I've done in my life has just reaffirmed the values I bring to my attachment to the Democratic Party.
Our guest again is Democratic candidate for Governor Tom Wolf. If you want to join the conversation or you have a question for the candidate, 412-246-2002, the number to call, 412-246-2002. Okay, let's talk money. It has been well documented that you are spending $10 million of your own money on this effort, and that it looks to be more than twice as much as your opponents are reportedly spending. Are you concerned that there may be a perception that you're trying to buy an election?
I'm sure there is that perception. I think history has shown you cannot buy elections. I am in this race because I think I have
some might argue with you on that point.
Well, maybe you can. But I that's not why I'm doing what I'm doing. I think I have a good story to tell. I think I have a background that's relevant for the needs of Pennsylvania, especially right now at this point in time. And since I'm not a career politician, the only way I can get my story out is to go on air and tell the story, and that takes money. But I determined – my wife and I determined early on in the campaign.
And let me clarify something. When you say go on air, you're referring to paid political advertisements, which of course this is not, and no money has changed hands here with regard to your appearance on WESA.
Thank you for that clarification. That's absolutely true. But I think I do have a story to tell, and I need to get that out. But the other thing is, I am not the only person contributing to my race. If I were, I would be very concerned about that. But not only am I putting my own and my wife's money into this campaign, but I've raised a good deal of money, and I'm very proud of that. So that there are other people out there who believe in my campaign, who are willing to step forward and make a contribution, and I think in combination that will help me prevail. But it also shows that there are other people aside from my wife and me who believe that my story actually is important. It's a good one and actually could actually be something that people want right now.
I want to go back to your Peace Corps experience. You spent 2 years in India. It sounds like that had a profound impact on your life.
It did. I think, and I'm not sure cause or effect, I joined the Peace Corps because I wanted to make a difference. I was 19 and I dropped out of college to do it. I took a temporary leave of absence from Dartmouth to join the Peace Corps, and I traded a comfortable dorm room at Dartmouth. Well, I'm not sure how comfortable dorm rooms at Dartmouth are, but exchanged that for a remote village in India. And I did that because maybe I was partially hardwired, maybe the small town upbringing, but I believed then, as I do now, that if you want to do something, you don't pine or think about it or ponder it, you actually do it. And so I dropped out of college and joined the Peace Corps, went off to India and did preach the gospel of high-yielding rice. I think what I took away from that was the belief that there are very few things that a human being cannot do. That if you put your mind to it, you can learn something, you can do something, and I think if I learned that if you see something that you don't like, that you think could be rectified or corrected or improved, that you step forward and do it.
Your views on social issues: you support abortion rights, gay rights, and some gun control. So, should Pennsylvania allow gay marriage?
Yes.
When you say that you support some gun control, what does that mean exactly, some gun control?
Well, you know, I'm from York County, and in York County, the first day of deer season is a religious holiday. Actually, all the schools are closed, so I grew up in that environment, and I understand the needs and rights of hunters and people who own guns. At the same time, I think I understand the need for rational, reasonable controls, taking care of loopholes, having reasonable background checks, and also having gun safety measures in place. So I believe in I think, reasonable, moderate controls in the context of a strong Second Amendment.
You've said that Pennsylvania is a state that could use some change. What would you change? What would you do differently exactly?
Well, I think Pennsylvania, the big change in Pennsylvania is that we need to recognize our inherent greatness. We are a great state, and what we've put up with in terms of believing that Pennsylvania is really something that has a wonderful past but not much of a future. I mean, that's what we have actually done, I think, in the policies that especially this governor has promoted. We are better than that. And I would do what governments, democratic with a small d, governments do around the world when they want to create economic opportunity. And we should have that here, but they invest in education. We shouldn't be walking away from our teachers. We should be working and walking toward them and working with them. We need to have a good education system and a system where I and your county care about the outcome of the educational process in Pittsburgh as much as you should care about my daughters who graduated from the public schools in your county. You should care about the education my daughters receive. We need to invest in education to get the future we need. We need to invest in transportation. We need to knit this state together in a way that has never been knitted together before. And transportation is a key to that.
But all those things take money. So what would you do to raise revenue? The governor's been looking at, you know, things like lottery privatization, which looks as though it's going to be rejected. So how do you where do you come up with the money to do these things, especially when, as a businessman, you have to be careful about running into the red?
Right. Well, keep in mind I was revenue secretary, so taxation is something I actually know something about.
I'm sure you do.
But I was also in business, and I know that you don't raise revenues by raising prices. In fact, you raise revenues by getting more people to buy your products at the same price. And I think the same thing is true of taxation. If we broaden the base and make the tax system fair, we can raise the revenues we need to do the things we need to do, the limited things we need to do as a state to set the table for great economic development.
We have a caller on the line, Mike from Greensburg, listening today. Mike, thank you for joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. This is a very interesting conversation you're having. I was also, as a sidebar, I was also a Peace Corps volunteer and spent 4 years in Southern Africa. So I appreciate the effort that you went through on that. My question is, where do you stand on renewable energy? I'm very, very concerned that we're tying ourselves to fossil fuel and that our state should be leading the world in renewables. I'll hang up and listen to you, okay? Thanks.
Thank you for the question, Mike.
Mike, thank you, and it's great to talk to a fellow former Peace Corps volunteer. I think we need to get to a point where we have sustainable and renewable energy sources for our economy. So clearly right now what we're looking for is the appropriate bridge to that sustainable energy future. My sense is that we have that in the ground underneath our feet in Pennsylvania, and if we take advantage, full advantage, in a responsible and profitable way of the shale that lies beneath us, we could use that with the right policies to make that the appropriate bridge to that sustainable energy future. So I would like to use the gas resource to fuel our economy as we move toward that sustainable future, and I think use some of the funds that come from that resource in a responsible extraction tax, severance tax, to fund that move to the future.
How would you manage the issue of fracking? I mean, it's a touchy issue, and the state has, in the view of some, wanted to take control over fracking issues away from individual communities and create state oversight. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, two things. The state Supreme Court has ruled that the state government cannot do that.
But the state is appealing.
The state's appealing, but I think the Supreme Court has made an interesting ruling that will probably stand. But regardless, the other thing is the state has not done an adequate job, in my opinion, of actually regulating the exploitation of this natural gas so that we do have environmental degradation that we just simply shouldn't have. I agree with the critics of fracking who say that we cannot do fracking perfectly. I think that's true. But we can do it a lot better than we're doing it right now. And I think part of what we should do is use some of the funds that a reasonable, competitive severance tax would produce, take some of those funds and use it to regulate this fracking so that it's done as well as it could possibly be done.
Tom Wolf is a Democratic candidate for governor, joining us here on this very cold Tuesday in Studio A. Mr. Wolf, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me, Paul. I appreciate it.
Coming up, Rebecca Harris on the business of outdoor winter recreation. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.